Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Yud Bet of Malachim Bet. This Perek focuses on the career of Yoash, or Yehoash, who we were introduced to in last Perek when he was saved by his aunt Yehosheva and his uncle Yehoyada by being hidden in the Beit HaMikdash for 6 years. He is 7 years old when he begins to rule. Rashi comments on Tehillim, Perek Chaf Zayin, 27, Pasuk Hey, the Perek LeDavid that we recite between Elul and Shmini Atzeret, on the words, Ki Yitzpeneni Besuko Biyom Ra'ah, he hides me in his sanctuary on the day of calamity, and says these words are referring to Yehoash when he was hidden in the Beit HaMikdash. Things had ended on a high note at the end of last Perek with the people, the king, and Hashem entering into covenants and the Baal worship being eradicated from Malchut Yehuda. We are told in Pasuk Gimel, Vaya'as Yehoash Hayashar Be'inei Hashem, Kol Yamav Asher Horahu Yehoyada HaKohen. Yehoash did what was correct in Hashem's eyes all the days that he was taught by Yehoyada. The connection between king and Kohen is strong. Starting in Pasuk Hey, Yehoash initiates the Bedek HaBayit collection to get the Beit HaMikdash back to its usual glory after Ataliah's rule when it fell into disarray. It had been 150 years since constructed by Shlomo. The Radak points out that the monies that had been collected during the previous 6 years were used for the Baal and not for the Beit HaMikdash, and Yehoash therefore did not wish to use these collections and hence the need for a new campaign. The Kohanim had to be reminded to use the collections to renovate the Bayit. They may have been waiting for the money to accumulate since they were starting from point zero. In Yehoash's 23rd year, he discovers that many repairs were not made. In Pasuk Chet, it seems that Yehoash may be accusing the Kohanim, led by Yehoyada, of not using the funds properly. Originally, they were collecting money from their acquaintances, as mentioned in Pasuk Vav. But then in Pasuk Yud, Yehoyada changes the method of collection of funds as he takes a wooden box and pokes holes in it for the money people could donate after coming to the Beit HaMikdash. And it was no longer in the hands of the Kohanim themselves. This new method made the Kohanim more accountable and ensured that everyone coming to the Mikdash was included in donating. It is interesting to note that Yehoash took on this job that is usually run by the Kohen Gadol. He may have seen himself as a Melech Kohen after being raised in the Beit HaMikdash and was concerned for its upkeep more than the typical king would be. Pesukim Yud Bet and Yud Gimel mention the artisans and workers commissioned to renovate the Beit HaMikdash. And Pasuk Yud Dalet informs us that the money collected was not used for instruments played in the Mikdash. There is a difference of opinion over whether leftover kesef could be used for that, though, as the Gemara in Ketuvot 106b discusses. And while talking about leftover money, Pasuk Yud Zayin teaches that what was left from money allocated and donated for Korbanot Chatat, sin offerings, and Korbanot Asham, guilt offerings, would be given to the Kohanim themselves for future Korbanot Olah, and not used for the Bedek HaBayit either. Pasuk Yud Chet changes topic to when Hazael, king of Aram, conquered Gat, and there was the fear that he would come to Yerushalayim as well and conquer it. Yehoash wards off the attack by taking valuables that had been set aside for the Beit HaMikdash and gold from the treasury and hands it over to Hazael. The last piece of information told to us in the Perek in Pasuk Chaf Aleph is that Yehoash was assassinated by servants who conspired against him. Even with this assassination, it is not the conspirators who assume the throne, as happens in Malchut Yisrael, but Yehoash's son Amatziah is given the mandate. Yehoash's manner of death is unusual for one who seems to have followed Hashem, which leaves us confused. Also, Hazael's subjugation from Pasuk Yud Chet seems unusual for a time when the king is following Hashem. We can call these questions red flags. In order to get a complete picture of Yehoash's kingship, it is necessary to look in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Chaf Dalet. Upon looking in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Chafdalid, we are given a lot more information that helps fill in the gaps. If you recall, in Pasuk Gimel, we were told Yehoash did what was right in the eyes of Hashem all the days that Yehoyada was alive. That phrase is hinting towards information that is written out explicitly in Divrei Hayamim only. Yehoash's righteousness was tied to only when Yehoyada was alive. Once Yehoyada died, Yehoash does not remain on the correct path. He begins serving idols. Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Chafdalid, Pasuk Yud Tet, says that Hashem sent Nevi'im to turn things around, but the people of Yehuda did not listen. Yehoash even ends up killing Zechariah after he tried communicating to the people the word of Hashem. Zechariah was the Kohen Gadol and son of Yehoyada, the one who Yehoash owes his life to. When Yehoyada was alive, Yehoash was so dependent on him, and although he may have wanted to assert his independence, he did not dare do so while Yehoyada was still alive. He did censor Yehoyada, though, for matters related to the Bedek Habayit, which was an early sign of disrespect. Once Yehoyada dies, when people bow down to Yehoash in awe that he was actually able to survive in the Kodesh HaKodashim for 6 years and not die, he does not protest or set the record straight that his survival was due to Hashem's chesed and the mesirut nefesh, the self-sacrifice of Yehosheva and Yehoyada. This egocentrism caused him to lose perspective. He sought independence from Yehoyada and was swayed by the people who worshipped him and offered him attention and a new direction and perspective. He ends up turning away from the influence of the Kohanim, culminating in the killing of Zechariah. The killing of Zechariah is referenced in Gemara Sanhedrin as witnessed by the Babylonian Nebuzaradan when he comes to destroy the Beit HaMikdash and sees Zechariah's blood still bubbling. Yehoash's Kafui Tov denies any appreciation owed to Yehoyada by killing his son. And while Yehoyada did not kill Atalia in the Beit HaMikdash in last Perek, Yehoash does not give Zechariah the same courtesy and kills him in the Azara courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. He defiles the people and place that protected him years before. This lack of gratitude and appreciation is hinted to in the Psukim when it discusses the origin of the servants who killed him. They were from Ammon and Moab. In Devarim Perek Bet, these nations are singled out in the Torah for their historical ingratitude. They did not welcome us with food and water when we left Mitzrayim. Moab even went as far as to hire Bilam to curse us. They, as descendants of Lot, should have had gratitude for their forefather being saved by Avraham Avinu. The Abarbanel points out many counts of how Yehoash is punished, mida k'neged mida, measure for measure. When the Pasuk says he was killed, it says v'yahargu al mitato, on his bed, perhaps referencing the cheder mitot, where he was hidden when he was a baby, and how later on that event influenced his life by leading him astray and deserving of this dishonorable death. Chazael's coming makes more sense when understood in the context of Divrei Hayamim. When Yehoash bribes Chazael with items from the royal treasury, it symbolically is also showing the unraveling of all the effort he had put into collecting those monies in the first place. The conflict with Chazael in Melachim Bet and how it is described in Divrei Hayamim Bet leads the Mefarshim, like the Ralbag, to understand it as two separate confrontations with Aram. The first time Chazael does not come to Yerushalayim and is paid off with items from the treasury, as described in Melachim Bet. That took place after Yehoyada dies and when Yehoash allows the people to worship him. The looting of Chazael and Divrei Hayamim Bet is mentioned in the Psukim following the killing of Zechariah to show that they are linked. In that second case, after Yehoash's flagrant violations, Chazael does come to Yerushalayim itself and leaves Yehoash injured and weak. It is at this vulnerable time that his servants conspire and assassinate him while in bed. While Yehoyada's death is described in Divrei Hayamim in Pasuk Tet Zayin, we're told he's buried in Ir David, Im Hamlachim, with the kings as a reward for his leadership. When Yehoash's death is described at the end of Perek Chafdalid, it says, V'lo Gvaruhu B'kivrot Hamlachim. He was not buried among the kings. In death and burial, Jehoiada was recognized as the worthy leader, deserving of a king's burial, as opposed to the actual king, Jehoash, who did not behave as a Jewish king should. This perek is read as the Haftorah for Parshat Shkalim, read the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. Both the psukim from Parshat Ki Tisa, which comprise Parshat Shkalim, and the psukim here, the Haftorah, discuss the collection of shkalim for the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash and the personal responsibility that every member of Bnei Yisrael had in order to maintain this communal place of worship and physical home of Hashem on earth. One of Yehoash's successful accomplishments in this perek is his attention to the Bedek HaBayit during his tenure. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.